Chapter 3. Then his son Judah, who was called the Maccabee, took his place. And all his brothers and all who had joined his father supported him. And they fought Israel's war joyfully. And he broadened the glory of his people and put on his breastplate like a giant. And he armed himself with his equipment of war. And he planned battles, protecting the camp with his long sword. And in his deeds, he was like a lion, and like a young lion roaring for prey. And searching out the lawless, he drove them off. And he burned up those who troubled his people. And lawless men shrank back for fear of him. And all the works of that lawlessness were confounded. And by his hand, salvation prospered. And he afflicted many kings. And he gladdened Jacob by his deeds. And his memory is blessed throughout the age. And he passed through the cities of Judah. And he utterly destroyed the impious there. And he turned away anger from Israel, and was renowned to the ends of the earth. And he gathered together those who were perishing. Then Apollonios gathered the nations together, along with a large force from Samaria, to fight against Israel. And when Judah learned of it, he went out to meet him. And he defeated and killed him. And many fell wounded, but the rest fled. And they seized their spoils. And the saber of Apollonios was taken by Judah, and he fought with it the rest of his life. And Seron, the chief of the Syrian force, heard that Judah had mustered a large gathering, and that an assembly of faithful men was waging war under his command. So he said,
"I will make a name for myself and win glory in the kingdom, and will defeat Judah and his followers who have despised the king's account."
And he went up again, accompanied by a large camp of impious men who intended to help him wreak vengeance upon the sons of Israel. When he reached the ascent of Beth Horon, Judah went out to meet him with a few men. But when his men saw the camp coming against them, they said to Judah,
"How can we, few as we are, fight such a mighty multitude as this? Besides, we are faint today from fasting."
And Judah said,
"It is easy for many to be overcome by a few. In the sight of heaven, there is no difference between deliverance by many or by few. For victory in war does not depend upon the size of the army, but on the strength that comes from heaven. With great presumption and lawlessness, they come against us to destroy us and our women and children, and despoil us. But we are fighting for our lives and our laws. He himself will crush them before us, So do not be afraid of them!
Now, when he had finished speaking, he rushed suddenly upon Seirone and his camp, who were crushed before him. And he drove them down the descent of Beth Horon into the plain. And about 800 of their men fell. But the rest fled to the land of the Philistines. Then Judah and his brothers began to be feared, and dread fell upon the nations around them. And his name reached the king, and all the nations talked about the battles of Judah. But when King Antiochus heard these accounts, he became angry with fury. So he sent and gathered together all the forces of his kingdom, a very strong camp. And he opened his treasure chests and gave a year's pay to his forces and instructed them to be prepared for any need. Then he saw that this had exhausted the silver in his treasuries, and that the tributes from the country were small, because of the dissension and the blow which he had brought upon the land by abolishing the laws which had been in effect from the earliest days. So he was wary that, as it happened more than once, he would not have enough for his expenses and for the gifts which he had previously given with a more liberal hand. And he was more lavish than the preceding kings. And he was greatly perplexed in his soul, and took counsel on going to Persia and levying tribute on those countries, and so raise a large sum of silver. And he left Lucias, a man who was glorious and of royal lineage, in charge of the king's affairs from the Euphrates River to the borders of Egypt, and to take care of his son Antiochus until his own return. And he entrusted half of his forces to him, as well as the elephants, and gave him instructions concerning everything he wanted done. And as for the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem, Lucias was to send a force against them to wipe out and destroy the power of Israel and the remnant of Jerusalem, and to efface their memory from that place. And he was to settle sons of foreigners within all their borders, and to distribute their land by lot. And the king took the remaining half of his forces and set out from Antiochia, his royal city, in the year 147. And he crossed the Euphrates River and advanced through the upper country. And Lucias chose Ptolemaios, son of Dorumenes, and Nicanor, and Gorgias, powerful men among the king's friends. And with them he sent 40,000 men and 7,000 cavalry to invade the land of Judah and to utterly destroy it according to the king's account. So they departed with their entire force, and they came and encamped near Hamath in the plain. And the merchants of the country heard about their fame, in bringing fetters and a large sum of silver and gold, they came to the camp to buy the sons of Israel as slave boys. And a force from Syria and from the land of foreigners joined with them. And Judah and his brothers saw that the situation had become critical now that the forces were encamped within their borders. And they discovered the accounts which the king had instructed to bring about the destruction and consummation of the people. So they said to one another,
"Let us restore our people from their ruined estate and fight for our people and our sanctuary."
And the congregation gathered together to prepare for a war and to pray and to implore mercy and compassion. And Jerusalem was uninhabited like a desert. Not one of her children entered or came out. And the holy place was trampled on. And sons of foreigners were in the citadel. It was a habitation for the foreign nations. And joy had been lifted away from Jacob. And the flute and the lyre ceased. So they gathered together and went to Mizpah near Jerusalem, because at Mizpah, there was formerly an oratory for Israel. And that day, they fasted and put on sackcloth, and they sprinkled ashes on their heads and tore their clothes. They unrolled the book of the law to learn about those matters in which the foreign nations sought to find analogies to their idols. And they brought with them the garments of the priesthood and the first fruits and the tenths. And they brought forward the Nazirites who had completed the days of their vows. And they cried aloud into the heaven,
"What shall we do with these men? And where shall we take them? For your sanctuary has been trampled on and profaned, and your priests are in mourning and humiliation. Now the nations are gathered together against us to destroy us. You know what they plot against us. How shall we be able to resist them unless you help us?"
Then they blew the trumpets. And cried out loudly. And after this, Judah appointed commanders among the people. Chiefs over thousands, and chiefs over hundreds, and chiefs over fifties, and chiefs over tens. And he proclaimed that those who were building houses, or were betrothed, or were planting vineyards, or were faint-hearted, could each return to his home according to the law. Then the camp moved off, and they encamped to the south of Hamath. And Judah said,
"Arm yourselves and be brave. In the morning, be ready to fight these nations who have assembled against us to destroy us and our sanctuary. It is better for us to die in battle than to witness the ruin of our nation and our sanctuary. Whatever heaven wills, he will do."